Hey listeners, Lex on the Decks here. Before you get stuck into this episode of Hot Girls, I wanted to let you know about something else you may be interested in. Though Hot Girls in its podcast format isn't releasing new episodes any longer, if you head over to my Substack, which is lexonthedecks.substack.com, you'll find more interviews and insight on gender minority artists and how to overcome any barriers to entry. You'll also get the opportunity to sign up to my weekly newsletter, 5 Good Things. This is an email letter which will land in your inbox on Fridays, sharing 5 of my favourite cultural or creative discoveries of the week. You'll find all that on lexonthedecks.substack.com. Thank you, and I hope you enjoy this episode of Hot Girls.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hello and welcome to Hot Girls with me, Lex on the Decks. Today I am boosted by the focus of a star on the rise. Having grown up obsessed with music, when most of her friends went to college, Morgan went on tour and began a whole different kind of education. With releases through 2020 showing her breadth as an artist, from the ultra smooth Sanctuary, to the announcement single, My Year, to the huge rudimental track, Be The One. It's been a really interesting year for her creatively and as an artist in development. We chat through her journey to getting signed to a label, actually the same label as Anne-Marie. We also talk about what she wants to do with her career, both as a musician and also as a businesswoman. And we talk a little bit about The Secret and the law of attraction. So without further ado, Morgan on the Hot Girls podcast. Let's go.
Ladies, gentlemen,
listen up. You're listening to Hot Girls with Lex on the Decks.
We in the mix.
It's fire.
Keep it going. We on fire.
From London for the world.
Let's go in.
Morgan, welcome to the Hot Girls podcast.
Hey.
Lovely to chat to you today. The first thing I wanted to ask you about is relationships, because I think we're all missing lots of people at the moment. So who's been getting you through lockdown? Who's been kind of, you know, on the end of the phone?
I've been speaking to my friends a lot. I haven't really had the chance to like get on Zoom or anything with them. They've been at uni, so they've all been studying at uni. So I haven't really had the opportunity to be on Zoom with them, but I've been texting them. But it's been mainly my family, just my family keeping me sane, my mum, my dad, my little brother, my puppy. Got a puppy.
Have you?
Yeah. Little Labrador puppy. Chocolate lab. He's so cute. He's called Bear. He's been getting me through it as well.
I feel like family's been getting everyone through because it's been like the safe space and also the kind of important relationship.
Yeah, definitely the people to stay around during this time, because it can be quite dangerous as well. You don't really know what's going to happen. So
yeah. Is it strange having a load of your friends being at uni and you're kind of working?
Yeah, it's a different experience. I think back in 2019, when everyone went to uni for the first time, for first year, I was touring. So it didn't feel too weird because everyone kind of parted ways anyway. And I was touring with Rudimental, so I didn't really feel like I was at home and they were all out doing their thing. So it was quite nice that we all did that at the same time. But yeah, it's definitely a different experience to what I'm used to, obviously being at school with my friends and then suddenly I'm in the working world. And it's like a comfortable stage where you can, you know, like you're at uni and you're figuring yourself out. I feel like this industry that I've gotten into, you have to figure yourself out a lot faster. You've got to find yourself and your identity. And yeah, it's been a really good journey so far with all of it. And I'm still learning about myself, but it's all in a really good way, definitely.
Yeah, I think that's really true and such an interesting observation. I think definitely the workplace forces you to do that.
Yeah.
Then you're also in an industry where people ask you very regularly, so what are you about? What do you stand
literally
for? And what does this song mean? And what was your journey?
I know.
Which is basically what I'm going to ask you. I want to talk about your relationship with Rudimental, because that's obviously been really fundamental to your career recently. But yes, before we get into that, I want to go back to when you were young, when mm-hmm. you first got interested in music. What were the influences that were pulling you to it in those early stages?
So for me, growing up, I had, I'm going to say, about three idols. And that was Michael Jackson for performance, Beyonce for performance again, and then and her voice. And I think Rihanna was like the one artist I gravitated towards the most. Just my mum would buy me her CDs growing up and would play them in the car. Just her presence and her aura and everything she does, she's got so much versatility. And it was like, for me, that was what I wanted to do as an artist. And I loved Rihanna, but it wasn't until maybe 2018 that I really dug deep into how she is as an artist and what she does. And she's so inspiring because she's gone into the business side of things, doing the Fenty. And obviously that's like another income, another way to make money. And that's what I want to do. I want to eventually get to a point where I've got so many different business ideas and I want to use them all and kind of use my name to boost that as well.
Yeah, I actually think you have to in music. I think it's one of the best ways to secure longevity because it's such a fickle industry that like I was looking into the career of Foxy Brown recently and the difference between her and Jay-Z, who kind of started in very similar places, and then he became the CEO of his label. So he kind of secured his place in the industry for life.
Yeah.
Rihanna's interesting as well because her career has kind of gone on such a journey. Like, just she's worked with so many different sounds.
That's what I look up to, is like the different sounds and the different genres. Like, you see her going from working with Drake to working with Calvin Harris.
And so then like a party next door. She can work with anyone.
Yeah. So many different people. And it's just, it's very inspiring because, you know, it shows that she can do so much. And that's what I look up to. And that's how I want to be.
Yeah. I don't know too much about her like creative process. Does she share much about that?
I've seen a few videos of like how she makes music. I think she's, yeah, I don't really know too much about that either. Actually, I've not really looked, that's actually something I'm going to look into. I've never thought about that. Yeah.
I heard that when she first, she performed Ponder Replay was like the first thing she performed to Jay-Z before he signed her, and then he like signed her that night.
That night,
yeah, they signed the deal that night.
Wow, it's crazy anymore, is it? Definitely not.
So when you were younger and you were kind of looking up to these artists and you're seeing Beyonce perform, say, were you quite directional and confident in your ability to get there?
It's a weird one because I've never had any lack of faith that I'm going to get into the industry. I've always been raised with the mindset of, you know, some people say they want to do music and their parents might be like, oh yeah, but have a plan B. And, you know, for me, I understand that angle because it can be daunting as a parent to be told by your child, I want to get into this industry, when everyone knows like a lot of things about the industry as well. It can be quite scary looking from the outside looking in. But my parents never had that mindset. They were like, if you want it, then you get it and you focus on it. And, you know, my they would take me to lessons, dance school, anything that was, you know, going to contribute to my performance. They were in for it. And it was a great upbringing for me because no one ever really said, no, you can't do that. I was encouraged so much by them. And yeah, it was a very easy ride for me. I wish like some people that I've spoken to, they wish they could say the same thing. But I think for me, the doubt came at school. So a lot of people I was around and a lot of teachers said like, oh, you need a plan B, all these things. And I was just like, my mindset was, if I'm focusing on my plan B, I'm not putting 100% into my plan A. So I never had a doubt that I was going to get into the industry. And I think that mindset is what actually got me into the industry. I'm very into like law of attraction, you know, and the secret, secret and all those things. So, but saying that, I had a lot of stage fright growing up.
Okay.
So I've danced on stage since I was three. Always danced, had no lack of confidence ever. But singing,
like, put me in the front.
I was like that all the time. I was such an like an animated child. There's videos of me on the camcorder where I'm like, Mum, put the camera on me, when I was like three, literally, from so young. But singing, it took me a while. I think I was about 5, 6 when I started singing. And then when I got to about 9, 10, I started to realize that I'm kind of a little bit better than my friends when I was about 9, 8. And I was thinking like, oh, like, and I started to pick it up and practice it more. And then my dad put his piano in my bedroom as well. And then I just started picking that up. So it was kind of like a natural process. It wasn't forced on me or anything. And my dad's musical as well. So
was he musical professionally or just as a hobby?
He worked on the sound system. So he used to do a lot of emceeing on like the sound systems back in the day. Yeah, that was kind of what he did. But then he started touring actually with his mates, Atomic Hooligan, the band. He toured with them and he did like a, I think it was like a, I don't know, it was maybe like a 4,000 capacity show or something in a park. And I remember being there, I was really young and I remember being there. And my dad's, a lot of people don't know this, my dad's had a lot of experience on stage and musical experience. So yeah, I kind of grew up looking at that and it inspired me. And yeah, he's very supportive. Both him and my mum are very supportive of what I want to do. So it's really nice to be in that position. But like singing for me, I used to, when I was about 9, 10-ish, I used to get my parents to look away and I'd face the wall and sing because I just couldn't do it. I had no confidence to sing. It was crazy. Yeah. And then it just built over time.
Did you have lessons or did you just practice a lot?
So with singing and piano, I didn't have lessons. It was just all kind of self-taught, practicing a lot. Yeah, when I kind of got into the industry, just, you know, had a little bit of something to keep me going and kind of improve it and take it to the next level.
Just it's like fine tuning.
Yeah, like you can only take it so far on your own.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a few vocal problems, which so when I started touring, I had a few vocal problems and that's when I started to do some training because I just noticed that when you're not singing, when you're singing and it's not your job, there's no pressure and you can kind of do it when you want and you don't realize your voice is damaged because the next day you're just chilling at home or whatever. But when I started to tour and I realized I need my voice every single day and it's got to be to a certain standard every day, I realized it wasn't staying at that level, and that was because I'd damaged my voice. Even just like screaming on stage too much and just being excited, and I'm quite a loud person anyway, so my natural speaking level is probably 10 times louder than the average person. Like I'm really loud.
So. It's true. When we started this conversation though, I was like, is that the levels or is it
or is it Morgan's voice?
Yeah, you're just loud.
No, yeah, literally. So yeah, it was just about maintaining it. It wasn't so much like teaching me to sing again. It was just like I needed to maintain my voice because it's a muscle and people forget that it is
100%. It's literally like an athlete. You need to learn how to not pull muscles and injure yourself as much as you need to learn how to speed up.
And you need to train as well.
Yeah.
You know? And look after it. But yeah, so it was great for me. The only people that doubted me really was friends I thought were my friends at the time.
Right.
And, you know, you think when you're doing something good, you think that maybe when you're 15, you think you would gain more friends, you know, like I'm doing this. And but it doesn't work like that. It really filters down to your real friends. And I've still got them people around me today. So it's really nice.
It's so true. It's really nice. I find most of my really good friends were just always supportive and often don't really know too much about it, but they're like, this is great.
Yeah.
Go you.
Literally. That's what my friends are like.
But I also think it's really nice what you were saying about not being forced to, what's your plan B? Because I think so many people, you're exactly as you said, your plan B ends up becoming the only thing that you're putting resource into. And then your plan A obviously is never going to come into existence.
100%.
And did you grow up in London?
I grew up in Watford. So I'm from Watford, which is just outside of London. People call it London, but it's not. It's in Hertfordshire by Harry Potter Studios. Have you been there?
I have been there.
Oh, love it.
Yeah.
Good old Harry Potter.
I did a film course in Watford. There's an academy out there.
Oh, sick.
Years ago.
Was it a college or?
It was, I used to do acting and it was called the New York Film Academy. And course out there, and we went to the Harry Potter studio, I guess, to inspire us. One day.
Did you have butterbeer?
Yes, it's disgusting.
You don't like it?
It was, oh my god, I thought it was vile.
Everyone I've spoke to hates it. I love it.
Really?
It's so nice. Yeah, I think it's banging.
Really?
It reminds me of eggnog.
I don't think I even know what eggnog tastes like.
I don't really know how to explain it, but it's a Christmas drink,
just like a creamy,
yeah, it's got
Christmassy drink.
Yeah, it's got egg in it.
I'm vegan.
You're vegan.
Yeah, one of them.
You wouldn't have that anyway.
What are we having your eggnog? I can't have that beer anymore. Oh, well.
But yeah, I grew up in Watford and I loved it because it was near London, but it wasn't as busy as London. I love spacious areas.
Yeah.
So I did spend most of my time in London, though. All my friends were from London. Well, most of them were from London. And so I would just travel all the time. Even from like 16, I was going up to see my mates in London. Mm. When I look back at it now, I think, like, how did you do that when you were so young? Just always traveling. But I guess when you're young, you just want to see your mates, don't you? So
yeah. And also, I think as you get older, you forget how old you were when you were young. You forget mm-hmm. that you actually quite mature and stuff, because you look at younger people and you're like, oh, they look so young, what do they know about the world? But actually your brain's fully working.
It's crazy. But I see, to be honest, I see 16 year olds now and I think, wow, I did not look that mature when I was young. I think it's definitely changed a lot.
Yeah,
the makeup and stuff, like everyone looks a lot older now. It's quite scary.
Although I did used to go out when I was underage, and I think it's much harder to do that now. We used to
more
have
strict
dodgy IDs.
Yeah, now they scan them, don't they? So you can't really get away with it unless you're paying like stupid money to get a fake one.
Honestly, I think we used to use like library cards and stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Got away with that?
Yeah, but I'm 28, so it was quite a while ago now. So I think you signed to Major Tom's in 2019? Is that right?
So
was there a long kind of courting process before that happened, or what was the process to that coming about?
So we kind of spoke on Instagram. So they saw my Instagram page of me doing mashups and I was doing covers of their songs and stuff. And then they saw me and we started having a conversation.
And they're being Rudimental.
Yeah, right. This is Rudimental. Yeah. Rudimental and their team all together. And we spoke, we had conversations. But at the time, they had a single out with James Arthur. So it didn't move too fast. They were touring, they were traveling a lot, and they were obviously in the middle of a campaign. So I didn't know I didn't even know what a campaign was at that time. I was like 17. So I just thought, oh, why are they ignoring me? Just message me back.
Yeah. And I'm going to post another video. Like, did they see it? Did they see it?
And then I posted another video and I actually covered one of their songs. And then they said, okay, we want to get you in for an audition. I was gutted because I actually fell ill. You know, when you just wake up and you are bunged up, like completely bunged up, can't really speak. You sound different when you're talking, everything. And yeah, I had a really rotten cold and I was gutted because I was meant to go to the audition that day. So I ended up sending a video in and it was so difficult because I was trying to like be like, hi guys, I'm Morgan.
Like, trying to be like yourself, your normal energy.
Yeah. I was really trying to like give off my personality in a video when I was really ill. So it was really hard. But I managed to do it. And then they got back and they were like, yeah, we really like it. Never spoke about a record deal though. That was never really, I had no idea about any of that. It was just touring we were speaking about. Mm-hmm. And then later on down the line, I kind of went in and started recording stuff and just trying different things with them. And it was nice because they, with most labels, they now want to see like at least half established artist where they've got a whole like reel of songs that they can give to you that's all finished. It's changed a lot. Like people don't want to develop artists anymore. They just want already made products there and ready to like, you know, just rake in the money with. So this was nice because they just wanted to hear my voice. And that's one thing about Rudimental. They're so like authentic and they just want to do everything how it actually should be done. Mm-hmm. And when you see how they've been so successful with Anne-Marie, it's like, you know, look at her now. That was all from an organic process. And
did they kind of spot Anne-Marie then in her early days?
Yeah. So she did an audition years ago and she toured with them. And and then they just started developing her. They've actually broke for a few artists. They just didn't sign the artists. And it wasn't until Anne-Marie came along that they said, oh, like we need to actually make a label because we're breaking through all these artists like John Newman. They've also signed Ella Henderson. They signed Ella Henderson the same year I signed. It's got a pretty good roster.
Doing pretty well. Talent spotting is.
They're doing well. Like the label's just always growing and it's so nice to be a part of that journey with them as well. But, you know, they've always given me the freedom to explore myself and explore the music I want to make.
Yeah.
Which is a really good position to be in because a lot of artists now, they don't get that freedom.
Yeah, you might be working with someone and they'd be like, interesting idea. We also think we've booked you the session with this producer.
Yeah,
like, okay.
I know. So I just kind of go in, like, my manager gets me into sessions pretty much every day, and we're just, you know, always finding new producers to work with and writers to work with.
Okay.
And they develop me as a writer, so as well, so singer-songwriter. It's just a better position to be in if you can write your own music, to be honest.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. Were you intimidated at all by the writing in maybe earlier days?
Yeah, like it was, I've always written my own music, but it was getting to that industry standard, whatever that is, because there's just so many different things now. But like, yeah, it was just getting to a point where I could write a high quality song and be able to deliver it to major toms and be like, this is what I've got, let's release an EP, which now we have done. But kind of, it kind of happened a lot faster than we all thought it was going to happen. You know, we thought, like I was going to be in development for maybe 2 years, but it was a case of, I mean, I had the songs within about 9-10 months. I had most of my songs done. That was in between touring as well. So I kind of made a project in between touring. So when I wasn't touring, I was just in the studio finding out who my favorite writers are. And it was daunting, but you know, it worked
with it.
So, yeah, it's just paying off. So
that chemistry that you have in the writing room, in the production room, I think is quite important. So when you find it with someone, it must be quite nice.
Mm-hmm.
Was there a particular song that was a kind of change moment where everyone listened and was like, yeah, okay, this is ready, or this is the start of a project?
Yeah. So actually the last song, the most recent song we released that came from my EP was called Alien. And that was the last song that we dropped. So I dropped most of my songs on my EP and then released it. Yeah, it was probably that song. We actually recorded it first, but we dropped it last. Mm-hmm. I wrote it with Anne-Marie, and it was just like it was so bouncy and just edgy and just different. And I think everyone was like, yeah, like this is Morgan's style. And I agreed. It was it just felt right. And that's kind of been like the standout thing for me, was having that balance between commercial and edgy, swaggy music.
Yes.
Not keeping it too cheesy, but still keeping it cool, but it being able to be played on the radio.
Yeah.
That kind of vibe. Yeah. And it was when we found that vibe that I just started going in and just making music like that. And it just worked. Every session, it was just working. And now I'm in a place where I'm discovering more about myself now. So I'm exploring a lot more different genres now. And it's really nice to be doing that. Yeah. And to have the freedom to do that as well.
Do you always write to a beat or to a track, or do you also just write as and when you have ideas?
Sometimes I can be in my car. A few of the sessions that I've had, I've been in my car on the way to the session, and then I've come up with something and I've recorded it and sent it to the producer, and then they've started making the beat before I've even got there. And then when I get there, we've just basically made the whole song already. That happens quite a lot. that happens.
So if anyone's having writer's block, in the car.
Literally. No, I do come up with really good like melodies when I'm in the car for some reason. Other times, some producers have kind of just given me a beat to work with, but I prefer actually being in the studio and everyone making it as we go. And that's why when I'm in the studio with Rudimental, it's so easy because they're so musical. So we'll have Renell, Amir on the guitar, we'll have Kezi on the piano, we'll have Piers on the keys, Beanie on the drums, like just so many different musicians in one room. And it's so much easier to make music when people are actually musical. It's just such a nice feeling to be in the room with live musicians, because that's how they brought me into the industry, was by live performance. So that's what I know best. So it's really nice to just, you know, make songs as we go from scratch.
Yeah, the kind of improvisational nature.
Yeah.
The first song that I heard of yours that I played so much, and I probably would have been, I remember doing a mix and like having it in and then sending it off to someone. So I'm trying to think when it was definitely Hot, because I remember listening back, but was Sanctuary.
Yeah.
So I was wondering about the process of creating that single and also the release process around that.
Mm-hmm. So my first song that I released was My Year, and that was dropped on the 5th of March, which was literally just before the lockdown, our first ever lockdown.
Uh-huh. And I was like, remember guys, the first lockdown.
First lockdown, we're in like lockdown 25. When I dropped My Year, it was like, okay, I'm rolling out all this music, got a good year ahead. And then lockdown happened, and it was just...
Oh my God, the energy of that track is like, this is
going to be my year. And then this happened, and it was like, what?
It's no one's year. It's literally no one's year.
And then Sanctuary was the first song we dropped in a lockdown. So that was my second ever release, and it was my first song that we released in lockdown. And luckily, on the session, on the day of the session, which was, I think it was February, mm-hmm. we made that song, early February. It was myself, Maestro, who's a really sick producer, and Shells, she's an amazing writer. We got in and it was kind of like an improvisation thing. We had an inspiration from Rihanna's Wild Thoughts, that kind mm-hmm. of swing to the song. It's like quite a, like a sexy kind of song. It was kind of improvisation, but we got a lot of the demo vocal down. So it was mm-hmm. a rough vocal, but we didn't have any harmonies or doubles or like ad libs or any of these things. And we were like, how can we drop this song when we haven't got any harmonies or ad libs, or it's just a straight vocal? And it needed a lot of cleaning up. You know, it was our first lockdown and everyone was really strict with it. And it was, there was just no chance of us getting in the studio to finish it. So I recorded voice notes. A lot of what you hear in Sanctuary is actually voice notes from my iPhone.
Did you plug a microphone in, or literally
just voice notes, literally voice notes from my phone, the ad libs in Sanctuary, and a lot of the harmonies are all voice notes from my iPhone. Maestro just did an amazing job of making it fit and making the effect, putting effects on my voice mm-hmm. notes and just making them sound like they've been recorded.
This sounds legit.
It's actually mad. Like, it might be a new way of recording. But it was, I was really worried and nervous about that because I didn't know how it was going to sound. And then when he came back to me with how it sounded, I was really happy with it. And then we released it, and it was a really good moment. Like, a lot of people loved that song, which was really nice. Yeah, it felt really good.
It obviously kicked into the old algorithm as well, where you mm-hmm. kind of like, good place to be.
Yeah, it was really nice.
And then with Alien, I imagine you had much more of a kind of thought process around exactly what you wanted that to be, like what you wanted the structure and stuff to be. Mm-hmm. Did you have a load of other tracks that didn't make it?
Yeah. With the thing is with Major Tom's and Rudimental and my manager, it's never a case of the song not making it. It's more, how can we make this song better for another time? So mm-hmm. a lot of the songs that I'd made just didn't fit in the EP. It wasn't that they didn't necessarily like the songs, it just wasn't for now. Some of the songs I made, which I was in a really good position with, really, is some of the songs that I made were too big for my moment, for my first ever moment. So we've got a lot of them saved now. Most songs that I've made, we've got them saved and ready to release when the time's right. Uh-huh. I've got a lot of songs that are just sitting there like waiting to be released, which is a good position to be in.
It's a great position to be in.
Yeah, it's a really good position to be in. And I'm grateful that I have so many songs and I've worked with so many good people. Now is a different time. Now, musically, I'm really in a place where I'm looking to excel. I don't know whether I'm going to be dropping another project or I might just be releasing music and just seeing what happens. But I'm going with a more relaxed approach now. So with the EP, I was working towards a project. With this, I'm just going to be dropping music. And if we feel like there's a project there, we might make one, but you never know. You just can't predict anything. So I'm glad we're on a more relaxed vibe now.
Yeah, you're looking for excellent. When you feel it, then
mm-hmm. it'll be the one. Yeah, 100%.
So you've obviously, as you said, been really fortunate to be able to work with some really brilliant people at like quite an early stage in your career.
Mm-hmm.
Have either some of them, so maybe it's an Anne-Marie or Rudimental, or mm-hmm. maybe it's your mum, what have been some really good pieces of advice that you've been given to help you navigate your career?
I get advice every day, but most of the advice that I got was when I was on tour. I've still got a lot to learn about performing, but I just remember all of the Rudy guys telling me, and the extended Rudy lot as well, all telling me, just don't be afraid to make a mistake. I was going on stage and I was so anxious about making a mistake. I'd put my glasses on, my shades, and I'd hide behind my shades for the first couple of weeks of touring. And then I can't remember who it was that told me, but they said, just take your glasses off, because don't depend on your glasses. Mm-hmm. If you depend on your glasses, you're never going to be able to perform without them. So just don't wear them. Go cold turkey and just don't wear them. And then see if you can handle it. And it was tough at first, but I kind of got there in the end. And now it's easy to perform. There's a few things I need to work on, like my presence. In some ways, I just need to, got this habit of like pacing up and down the stage.
Do you watch videos of yourself back? To
yeah, look? Yeah. And after every show, my manager's like, stop pacing. but no, like, it's good because I'll bear that in mind next time. But I just honestly, I haven't performed in so long. It's just been a nightmare. Like, I've completely forgotten.
But next time you'll be running back and forward.
I'll be running back. I'll be moonwalking back and forward. But no, yeah. So it's yeah, I've got a lot to learn, but you know, everyone's always got something to learn. So
exactly.
It's great, exactly. Really.
That's a nice piece of advice though.
Yeah.
If you're having a down day, which we all have, particularly at the moment, how do you move yourself out from that space? Or are you just like, eh, down days happen, I'm not getting out of bed today?
During lockdown, I have been having a lot of fights with my own brain. It's been quite a difficult time mentally. I think the first lockdown was easier because I was exercising a lot, and with exercise kind of comes peace of mind for me. I think everyone can say this, when you're exercising, you're not really thinking about anything.
It's quite mindful.
It releases a lot of good endorphins. So I was doing that every day, staying on top of my game. But as, I don't know, as it kind of went into winter, I don't know, I think everyone said this as well, the mood just kind of switched. It went from, okay, we're in a lockdown, this is something different, to now it just being the same thing dragging for a whole year. Mm. And it's obviously very difficult for everyone. When I'm in a bad mood, I haven't been accepting that I'm just in a bad mood, or I just don't feel good. And I think fighting it in my own brain has been more of a problem for me. I feel like when you fight your thoughts, it makes them worse. So I just need to accept that I'm just not in a good mood today, maybe, or like another day, and just go with it and just accept it. And I think everyone's beating themselves up as well, but we're forgetting that we are in like a global pandemic, and it's been really difficult for everybody to cope. And actually, we should all pat ourselves on the back for getting through it, because it's been difficult.
It's true. Mm-hmm. But then you see, I saw this Kim Cattrall quote the other day where she was like, I'm really not interested in being unhappy for even 30 minutes of my life.
Yeah.
And I was like, that is wonderful. Is that possible?
Yeah.
Like, Kim, I don't know if it's possible.
Wow.
Tell me how. How are you doing?
Please,
this?
I need that advice.
Yeah. I'm like, I get hormonal, Kim, and then I'm not feeling good.
Oh, my gosh.
You said that you follow and are interested in the law of attraction and kind of manifestation, those kind of things. Do you tie to that? Do you write down goals for your future? Or do
you... Yeah, I've got like, I kind of write it down in my own head. Uh-huh. I should probably actually write it down. I think it's better to actually write stuff down. But yeah, I've got a few goals in my head. I want to, in the next 2 years, I want to be, you know, hitting a lot bigger numbers in terms of my streams and my people buying my sales. And I want to start doing my own shows. Obviously, that's really difficult to know right now because no shows are happening. But
yeah,
it's a weird time to develop. I said to my manager the other day, actually, I said, is this a hard time to develop as an artist? And she said, not really, because you get the opportunity to focus on things like your social media and growing in different types of ways, you know. Building your platforms so that you've got more of a fan base. There's a lot of things you can focus on now that you wouldn't have been able to before. So you can take the positive from it as well. Obviously, it's a hard time, but you can take the positive from it, definitely.
Yeah. And I suppose a lot of people talk about an artist. I mean, you mentioned it as well, like incubation period.
Yeah.
You have had a forced incubation period to a degree where you've had digital and studio or solo time.
Yeah. It's been a wild time. Love it.
And just on that note, and kind of final question, what are you missing most at the moment, and what are you most excited to be able to do when life becomes life again?
I am literally craving going to Ibiza and having a massive rave. I'm craving it so much. Just that feeling of being out again. I don't even club that much. And I don't really miss clubbing. I just miss going out on a holiday.
Yeah.
And, you know, being able to just do everything and be back to normal. Even now, sometimes I watch films and I see people in groups and I think, you can't do that because it's COVID.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, no, wait, this was filmed 4 years ago. Like,
what are you doing, guys? Get back in.
What are you doing? Yeah. No, yeah. It's yeah, it's been a lot, but that's probably what I'm looking forward to the most. And just having a massive family gathering.
Yeah. I actually cannot watch. There's loads of TV shows and stuff I cannot watch and films because they're too painful. You know? If it's too many people in bars and stuff, I'm like, whoa.
What are you doing?
I can't do that. Don't do it in front of me.
Oh, and you see New Zealand, they're COVID free now and these festivals and everything. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm so jealous right now.
How is that happening?
Oh my gosh.
What's your favorite music to dance and go out to?
Oh, it depends which friends I'm with and where I'm going. I've got one group of friends where it's straight drum and bass house. And then I've got the other group of friends where it's bashment vibes.
Okay, yeah.
Kind of dance hall. Actually, and then I've got another group of friends, which is kind of I say group of friends, it's two people because I can count my friends on my hands. I don't have that many friends, but I prefer it that way anyway. Yeah, and then I've got
tight
straight
friends.
Straight rap music. Honestly, when I'm drunk, I'll listen to anything. Dance in the club.
Variety is good.
Yeah.
Morgan, thank you very much for sharing all your story with us.
Thank you so much.
People who are listening, where can they find you? Where are you most active on the socials and the old streaming platforms?
Yes. So my Twitter is @knownasMorgan and my Instagram is Morgan Connie Smith. And my Facebook is Morgan, if you can find that.
Oh, she's using the Facebook.
Facebook as well.
And my WhatsApp is.
And my number is. Yeah. So yeah, that's all my platforms.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's been lovely chatting with you. And thanks, guys, for listening. And we will see you next week.
Yes. See you later.
Bye. Bye.